there was a truck driver who he walked into this eatery. It was an all-night restaurant, open all night, service all kinds of people. So he walked in, sat down, and decided to have something to eat. And the waitress had just served him his meal by himself, just served him his meal. He's ready to eat. And three guys riding Harleys, they showed up, and they swaggered in to this diner. And in doing that, one of them grabbed the man's hamburger. Another one took a fistful of fries from the man. And the third one picked up the coffee, and he started drinking it. All the time, the trucker just sat there. He just sat there. He responded with what we call great patience. Well, he sat there. He calmly got up, picked up his tab, and he walked up to the front of the restaurant to pay the cash, pay the cashier. When he headed out the door, the waitress, she watched him drive off into the night. Paid his bill, he's gone. When she returned back to where the guys, the bikers, were, one of the bikers said, "Well, he wasn't much of a man, now was he?" Well, the waitress replied, "Well, I don't know, but he wasn't much of a truck driver either." And they said, "Well, why not?" "Well, he just ran over three motorcycles as he left the parking lot." Well, think about that for a while. Is that us? Something happens. How do we respond? Do we leave the parking lot and run over some motorcycles? Do we leave our mark? You know, last month or the previous month in Portsmouth, we've been covering the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the topics was patience. We've gotten through several of them now, but patience was one of them. And patience is a very it's a very good topic. No matter who we are, what our age is, patience is something that checks us. It keeps us in check. You know, the thing about it is, we have to ask ourselves the question, how much patience do we have? Do we have the patience of Job? You know, I think about patience, you know, and probably like you, we're wired for fast action. When something happens, we're ready to respond immediately. We want to take action, get results, and move on. Go to the next project in life. Well, as I personally do a self-examination, I look at my heart, and I honestly take a look at how patience fits into that. And I got to be honest with you. Patience, for me, is a big part of what leads to sin. Sin in my life. And we all face sin. We all deal with items and issues in our life. And a lot of it stems from lack of patience. Now, we might not drive over motorcycles when we leave an incident, but I have to admit, sometimes I want to. That's just the way it is. That's the way we are. So today I'd like to take a look at how traveling down that road, the road of impatience, will almost always lead to spiritual disaster. We have to make sure that we stay on the right road. You know, when we take a look at the fruits of the Spirit, and we look at each one of them, it's easy to see the connection with all of them. You know, we picked out patience. I picked out patience today. But that's just one of the fruits that God has given us to deal with, to put in our life, and to use to serve others. Let's go ahead and look at Galatians 5, because we'll take a look at the fruit of the Spirit here, the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, and it's verse 22 and 23. And this is a very familiar scripture to all of us. Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit can only come from the Holy Spirit of God the Father. And that works in our lives. That is where the fruit of these individuals we just listed here, those individual fruits, it comes from. It comes from God. Now, if it's a gift from God, it's good. Sometimes we look at patience and we think, well, that's not very good. You know, patience tests us. Patience, if we're honest with ourselves, patience will tell us exactly where we stand. Or I should say maybe the lack of patience will tell us exactly where we stand. Remember, patience is a fruit of God's Spirit. Only as we were filled with the Spirit of God, and as Mr. Bumgarner mentioned earlier, when we have hands laid on us at baptism, we are given a portion. Now, that portion depends, that's God's decision, how much it is, but we're given a portion of His Holy Spirit. Now, when we get that, it's our responsibility to make that grow. God gives it willingly, but expects us to act on it. And when you read Galatians 5 here, you see that the fruit of that very Spirit that He's given us, the same Spirit that He gave all of His apostles down through time, when He gives us that Spirit, He expects it to grow in us and produce these fruits. And later on we'll see that it's not just fruit, but it's much fruit. And it's a fruit that doesn't end. It continues. It keeps on going. But to have this Spirit of God to work in us and allow that to grow, along with producing this kind of fruit, we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to be able to know and experience godly patience, and all of the fruits, but specifically godly patience. Just as we can't manufacture the rest of these fruits, you know, love, joy, peace, and the list goes on, we certainly can't pretend to have patience if we don't. So we have to realize where we stand. And it's a personal thing. I can't tell you where you stand. You can't tell me where I stand. But we can tell each other, ourselves, where we stand with patience, as well as the rest of the fruits, but especially patience. Here's a definition that seems to capture the biblical meaning of patience. Patience is that calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. And you think about that. Whenever we come up against something and it's pushing our buttons and you feel that level starting to boil and boil and it gets up to your ears and it just starts bubbling out, can we say at that point, I am focused and thinking on the fact that God is in control? Probably not. Probably we are trying to control the situation ourselves. Now, there's a lot we can do to control a situation, or at least to be in control during a situation, and that's the difference. Controlling a situation as opposed to being in control in a situation. And that's what God wants us to do. Always be in control. Calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. It's not easy to be patient. We know that. There's at least two reasons why that it's so rare. Patience is so rare in today's society. Number one, patience goes against human nature. Patience goes against human nature. Because patience is of God's nature. Impatience is of human nature. From the moment we were born, we want things taken care of right away. And we all know this. We've all experienced this. When a baby, you know, wakes up in the middle of the night and it's hungry or its diaper needs changed. You know, the baby doesn't lay there at 3 and 4 and 5 months old. It doesn't lay there and think, I know my mom and dad are very tired. They had a hard day today, so I'm just going to roll over and go back to sleep. I've never, ever seen a baby do that. What they do do is scream and cry for hours if you don't go get them, until they get things taken care of for them. The problem is, most people in general haven't changed a whole lot from the days of their youth. Most people still cry and complain, and they want things done immediately. You know, patience, they say patience is a virtue. It is. We need patience. We need to learn patience. The second reason that patience here is so rare in today's society is the fact that patience is contrary to our culture. Think about our culture. Anyone who's traveled to other countries and other parts of the world, you can see very, very quickly. And again, you almost don't have to leave the airport. You can see the fact that Americans are spoiled. You know, now, yes, Americans are blessed. And there's a difference between being blessed and being spoiled. Americans want things now. They don't want to wait. I mean, just a good example is all the drive-thrus. I mean, you know, drive-thrus have been on the scene for several years now, but it wasn't good enough just to have a drive-thru. Now, several restaurants have two drive-thrus. So two people can order at the same time. So I'm just waiting to see what happens when the two people decide they want to pick the order up at the same time. Then you'll see a fight break out, and who knows what will happen. Patience. You know, sometimes patience saves our life. If we just slow down and think about something for a minute, it might save our life. This reminds me of the man who was, his car stalled in heavy traffic. And he was there trying to get it started, just as the light turned green. Now, we've probably all, if not been in this situation, we've seen this situation. So he's frantically trying to get his car started. He's cranking on it and it won't start. Everybody behind him, the 10 cars lined up behind him, start honking their horn. And you look back in the mirror and you see all these angry faces. So this guy finally got out of his car. And he walked back to the driver behind him. And he said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I can't seem to get my car started. If you will get out of your car, go up and give my car a try, I'll stay here and honk your horn for you and cheer you on." Patience. You know, the world would be a much happier place if we just practiced this one gift, one fruit of God's Spirit. But can you imagine if we practiced it the way Christ did? It would be a changed world. Patience is a very hard quality to develop. And I use the word develop because develop insinuates the fact that it takes time. It doesn't just happen overnight. Whenever you decide, I want to be a Christian, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ and God the Father, I want to be part of their family, and you get baptized and you have hands laid on you, you don't just miraculously get patience. It takes time. It has to be developed. Sometimes it requires us to sit still, and that's hard for us to sit still. As we already said before, a lot of us were start action kind of people. You know, and especially being Americans, we've been trained in society to get it done now, make it happen now, don't wait. A lot of times, the lack of patience is found by a feeling of unbelief. Have we ever thought about that? When we start to get impatient, is that a sign that we have unbelief? Now, I'm not saying we don't believe in God the Father or Jesus Christ, but is it impossible for us to have doubt? Absolutely not. We better not say it is. I mean, there's story after story in the Bible. How about the apostles? Christ said, "I'm going to die," and I'm paraphrasing, "I'm going to die, I'm going to return." and this is what's going to happen. They didn't believe. They wanted it to happen now. They wanted his second coming to be now. You read Hebrews and you see they, you know, these people finally understood. It took time. It took time. It takes time for us. The sad thing is, if we don't learn to be in control of this facet of our life, it can and it will erupt. It'll keep building in us if we live without patience. It'll keep building in us to the fact that it will erupt. And it can happen anytime, anywhere. How many of us have been standing in the line at a grocery store and the poor lady at the cash register makes mistake after mistake, and we have a buggy full of groceries. The milk's getting warm. The eggs are getting warm. All these things start going through our mind. That impatience starts to come to the forefront, and it will erupt. Patience can even be a result of health problems. Or I'm sorry, impatience can be a result of health problems. If we think about this life, the way things are going too long, we get stressed. All of this comes to issues and problems of impatience. It boils down to two choices. The two choices are, we can choose to wait for God, trust in God, develop patience while doing so, develop faith, and not give up instead of bailing out. And unfortunately, again, as was said in the first message, that happened so many times in past history. And is it going to happen again? Probably. Why? Because we're dealing with humans. We're all human. And if we don't learn patience, we will repeat the same things. Let's look at a few scriptures on this. Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27 and verse 14. It simply says this: wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So two times in this short verse, we're told to wait, to have patience. Here's the thing. As time goes on, we want things to happen. We want Christ to return. We want the kingdom. And that's good. That's a great desire. But it will happen when God says it's time to happen. We don't know what God's timing is. Here, we're told, be patient. I would much rather put my trust in the knowledge that God knows what He's doing as opposed to man knowing what they're doing. We've seen the results of both. You know, again, the Bible, God's Word, gives us example after example of what happened when God's way was followed as opposed to what happened when man's way was followed. Wait on the Lord. Have patience on the Lord, and He shall strengthen your heart. That's our soul. That's our mind. That's everything about us. He will make us a better Christian if we have patience, if we wait and trust in Him. Another one is Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Now, if you look at this, there's things that we can see here too. First of all, understand what he's saying. But those who have patience on the Lord. Okay, first of all, we have to have patience. And when we do have patience, this is what happens. Their strength, their endurance shall be renewed. And then it goes on to say, they shall mount up. That means move forward. They shall get on. Mount up with wings like eagle. That means get strong. And that's the whole one of the analogies of eagle's wings is for strength and protection and deliverance. They shall run and not grow weary. That means you continue on. You will endure and not grow tired. They shall walk and not faint. Again, moving forward, never stopping. They shall do this and not faint. All this stems from having patience with God the Father and Jesus Christ, knowing that their way is the way and their timing, God's timing, is the timing. You know, we also determine to walk like Christ did in His example. Look at Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you, of me, of all of us? What does the Lord require? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is what's required. We just read in Isaiah, if we have patience, we develop the patience that God wants us to have, part of the reward of that is to run and not grow weary, and to walk and not faint. He says this is what it requires, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, instead of being reckless and impulsive in our lives, and sometimes, you know, that's what happens. Instead of doing this and living our lives and doing our own thing, we need to understand that the fruit of patience, this helps us to trust in God in everything that God has set up, in His timing, in His laws, in absolutely everything that He has set up. And this is one of the hardest things for us as humans. Patience is not something, again, as a human that comes natural. So we have to work at it. We have to develop it. In short, the key to having patience is to hold on to God, to hold on tight to His everything about Him. That's His laws, His timing, everything about God. And then slow down as He guides us. Slow down and have patience. I want to take a look at Luke chapter 21 here. Luke chapter 21, because this gives us an example of what we just talked about here. I want to read verses 10 through 19. Luke 21, verse 10 through 19, starting at verse 10. Then He said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. See, this is the positive side. Continuing on here. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But listen to this. But not a hair on your head shall be lost. By standing firm, you will gain life. Now, you read all this, And again, the first part of it, it could scare us. It shouldn't, because having faith in God and knowing that He is what He says He is and He will do what He says He will do, you start getting down to verse 13 and 14, you start to see He explains. This is why you don't need to worry, He says, because He will be in control. He will take care of things. Then He goes on to add that you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, even by your family. Some of us have experienced this now, not to the point of death, obviously, but we've been betrayed by our family and our friends. God says this is going to happen. He tells us all this is going to happen, but don't lose heart. Because then He goes on to say, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. And He follows that up by having patience, by standing firm, you will gain eternal life. That is the promise. That is the hope within. Patience is completely living a godly life as best as we can and getting better every day. But it's completely living a godly life, and it's one of the fruits of a faithful person. We have to work at it. It's not something that comes easy. We have to work at it. Look at Psalms chapter 130. Psalms chapter 130, verses 5 and 6, it helps us to see the correlation between the promises of God and the patience of His people, of Christians, of believers, however you want to refer to it. It's Psalms 130, starting at verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Using the term here, waiting on the Lord, throughout the Old Testament is another way to describe building patience. It definitely is the opposite of giving up. Absolutely opposite of giving up. And it's at variance with speeding up. God says to do this and do this in this time. And that's what we have to try to get our head around. Whenever God says to move, we move. When He says to stop, we stop. When He says to speed up, we speed up. But we wait on Christ. We wait on God. We don't bail out. We never quit simply because we think things aren't happening the way they should, or as fast as they should. We cannot refuse to do what He says to do. Run when He says to run, walk when He says to walk. Patience is staying at our appointed place by God when He tells us to stay there. And it's going at His appointed pace when He says, go faster or go slower. What we see here in Psalms we just read is in the middle of waiting, the individual finds hope in God's Word. Sometimes, if we don't have patience, we can go through God's Word even and skip right over the heart of the message. We can miss that hope that He wants us to find. The encouraging thing is that when we start to feel like giving up or calling it quits, or when we find ourselves wanting to take matters in our own hands even, that is when we should hold on tight. And that is when that hope through God's Word that we see here in Psalms, that's when that comes through. If we just stop for a minute, take time to read God's Word again and read it slow. Go over it two or three or four or five times, however many times it takes. Get the message out of it that God wants us to get. When we read it and we memorize it, that's the start. And then we find ourselves in a situation, we meditate on what we read, and it starts to make sense. We ask God for understanding, and He will open our minds to give us understanding. Look at Romans chapter 15, if you will. Romans 15, and verse 4, I'm going to take this from the Living Bible. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "These things that were written in the Scripture so long ago are to teach us patience and to encourage us." God's Word is, to, among other things, is to teach us patience and to encourage us. It's what we just read in Psalms 130, verse 6. It said, "The watchman waits for the morning." Have patience. Have patience. You know, back in Bible times, these watchmen, they very vigilantly guarded the cities. And they did this all through the night, looking for the enemies who might attack. And that was a thing, a real thing. They were alerted, or they were alert, I should say, and they're very obedient. What they did like we should be doing God's Word. They grabbed a hold of what they did, and they eagerly held on. Well, they would be waiting all through the night and waiting till the morning. And that's, you know, what the Scripture says, watchmen waited for the morning, because once the morning came, the sun rose and broke the darkness, they could relax, because then they could see. The toughest time is through the night, when things are dark, when you don't know what's creeping around you. The same is with our spiritual life. The toughest time is when we're going through troubles and trials, because Satan is trying his best to overtake us. We need to have patience and faith in God that He will move when He says He will. The watchman knew whenever the morning sun broke that they could relax. We know when God intervenes in a situation that we're in, and you get that breath of fresh air, you can relax. Now, I'm not saying relax all of your guard, but you can relax because you know you're reaffirmed that God is in charge. God will, He'll take control of our life if we let Him, if we encourage Him. But we have to welcome Him in and do that. He won't do it on His own, because He says the choice is ours. Sometimes we might find it hard to wait for God. But what is even worse is to look back after a situation is over and wish we had. Sometimes that's the worst part. As the pressure of this physical life pushes against us, and it is, and I can assure you from God's Word that it will, up until Christ returns, we see things happening over in the Middle East right now, in our country right now. Things are happening that are speeding up this process. And the pressures, they might or might not be tough in our life now, but they will. They're going to get hard for a Christian, for someone who believes in God, the true God. It's going to get tough, because that will not be the popular belief. We have to understand that we could be tempted at any time, and we will be tempted at any time, to give up on God. Or we'll be tempted to go ahead and do things without considering God's will. Let's notice what the nation of Israel did. Now, I'm not going to turn there. We'll look at a couple of scriptures here in a minute. But Isaiah, the whole chapter, Isaiah 30, is a great example of what the nation of Israel did. And we can learn from their mistakes. And again, that is part of the why God put these examples in the Bible for us today and the people after us tomorrow to learn from their mistakes. You know, during Israel's time, they had powerful enemies. And one was the Assyria. They threatened Israel. And you might go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 30, because we'll take a look at a few scriptures here. The people of God, they lived in fear of this mighty nation. They lived in fear. And one of Isaiah's jobs was to help them to do the right thing, to respond correctly. But what we see is that Israel became very impatient. Instead of waiting, as God has commanded, they took matters in their own hands. Instead of resting, they ran. Isaiah 30, starting at verse 1. "Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge." Because of their lack of patience, God's people decided that they could do this for themselves. As a result, you know, we see God calls them in verse 1 here, obstinate children, because they did not allow God's Spirit to lead them. They didn't allow God to guide them. They decided to take matters in their own hands. And he very graphically describes their impatience as, it says, heaping sin upon sin. It's kind of like somebody who tells a lie, a little lie. They tell one little lie, and next thing you know, they got to tell another one to cover that one up. And it just goes lie after lie after lie, sin upon sin. Unfortunately, this sounds a lot like what people do in this time, this day and age. We're very willing to wait for a while, and then we lose our patience. And we decide to plow ahead and do ourselves. The key phrase here in Isaiah 30 is, without consulting me, without consulting God. We must consult God in every aspect of our life, no matter how simple we think it is. I mean, we don't want to be walking around here without God's protection. Absolutely don't want to, no matter how simple we think it is. God tells them that their impatience is going to backfire. In verse 3 here, he says, "But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace." By not waiting on God, by not asking God, consulting God, doing their own thing, this led to their downfall. Again, it wasn't the first time and it wasn't the last. There's a study that showed the annual cost of running red lights. And you might be familiar with some of this. But in medical bills and car repairs, $7 billion for running a red light. Now we think about it. How much time does it take to set through a red light? Minutes, sometimes seconds. Now, and occasionally you'll get one that doesn't turn. But for the most part, a few minutes and it's over. $7 billion for the result of running a red light. This shows that it's not just costly, but look at the lingering health effects. If you run a red light and somebody else is coming, there's so much more that goes with the fact of impatience. Now, you're in Isaiah here. Drop down to verse 18. Verse 18. "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is God of justice. Blessed are all who waits for Him." By developing patience and practicing patience, God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us with His grace, as we see here, and He wants to bless us with His compassion. He promises to bless all those who are patient. Let's notice another very encouraging scripture here in Isaiah 64 and verse 4. Isaiah 64 and verse 4. Says, "Since ancient times, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, nor eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him." It's amazing what the patience of a Christian will earn. One side of developing patience is to work at waiting on God. We have to wait on God. When Paul described life outside of God, he often describes as a life full of anger and hostility. If you will, notice Galatians 5 and verse 20. Galatians 5 and verse 20. The fruit of patience is in direct contrast to the acts of sinful nature. And this is what Galatians 5 verse 20 says. Paul pointed this out. He said, "Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissension, and faction." If we don't submit completely to Jesus Christ and God the Father on a daily basis, it won't take long for our lives to bear the kind of fruit that we just read here in Galatians 5 verse 20. Instead of the fruit found in Galatians 5 verse 22 and 23, we have to take off any wrong anger and put on compassion, put on kindness, put on humility, gentleness, and of course, patience. We have to do this. Patience is a complex word in the Bible. Miles Coverdale was an English ecclesiastical reformer who was primarily known as a Bible translator. We probably read some of his translations. When he translated the Bible in English in 1535, he had to invent the word long-suffering. Long-suffering. And we know this to describe the Greek phrase in Galatians 5:22 as for patience. It was such a good rendition that the translators of the King James Bible that we all base our studies off of, they used the same word in 1611. Long-suffering. And this is what it means. A patient person who has the ability to suffer for a long time. That sounds kind of bad, but remember what we read earlier? God said in His Word, don't worry about what man can do. Suffer as long as you need to for His sake. He will take care of you. Have faith. Have patience. And of course, I'm just paraphrasing, but that's what He tells us to do. Notice Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 9. This is what Proverbs says about patience. Proverbs 14 and verse 9 says that a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. A patient man has great understanding. This tells us that it's wise to be patient, but on the other hand, it's foolish to have a hot temper, to be quick to react. Because a lot of times that gets us in trouble. You know, the Greek word for patience means to be slow to get angry, or to have a long fuse and a short memory. Unfortunately, a lot of people have just the reverse of that. They have a short fuse and very, very quick to lose their memory. They act way too fast. And this is what we fight against every day in our life on a daily basis. Patience means to have the capacity to accept and tolerate delay. That's a red flag to us, right? Nobody wants to be delayed. But this is what patience means: to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry and upset. And there's the key to it. That's the hard part. If we truly allow God's Spirit to control us all the time, then these fits of rage that we feel coming on, they should get further and further away from us. They should be put out of our life. And again, as we said earlier, it's a developing. It's not something that happens right away. It takes time. Patient people, truly patient people, they become hard to provoke. But that's the deal with patience. It becomes. It takes time. You know, as we've come to understand the fruits of the Spirit. It's both a gift, but it's also a task. You know, Christ said it's a gift, and it comes from the Spirit. But in that gift that He's given us, each one of those fruits is a task that we have to put in our life. And we have to make it work. But it's not just for us. We make it work for the good of the brethren, of each other. And as we do this, we will become closer to God. And we will become stronger. Now, as we start to wind down here, I'm going to look at five quick scriptural steps here that will help us to be completely clothed in patience. And they're just five brief steps. Number one is always look to others through Christ's eyes. Always look at others through Christ's eyes. Philippians 2 and verse 3. When we take on the attitude of Christ, we will see things different. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Brother, the next time we find ourselves following a slow driver, instead of tailgating that driver and trying to intimidate them, let's try to imagine that this person is our parents or our grandparents, someone that we are really fond of. Let's back off a little bit. Practice patience. It will make a big difference. There's a story I want to relate to you. A train was filled with tired people. Most of them had spent their day traveling through the hot, dusty plains. And at last, evening had come. And they were all tired, and they tried to settle down for a good night's sleep. Now, they're on a train. However, at one end of the car, a man was holding a tiny baby. And this baby was crying relentlessly and screaming at the top of its lungs. So unable to take it any longer, a big brawly man, he spoke up for the rest of the people that was there. And he looked at the guy straight in the eyes and he said, "Why don't you take that baby to its mother?" Well, there was a moment pause, and then the guy replied back, and this is what he said. "I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. The baby's mother is in a casket in the baggage car in front of us." And of course, there was an awkward silence. Then this big man who asked this cruel question, he got out of his seat and he moved towards the man. And he apologized for his lack of patience. And he apologized for his insensitivity. And he took the tiny baby in his own arms. And he told the father to get some sleep. Then in loving patience, he cared for that little baby all through the rest of the night. Patience is a gift. The way we use patience is a gift. We need to remember that. Number two, keep in the company of patient people. Keep in the company of patient people. You know, anger is contagious. When we get it out, others pick it up. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. It says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." The bottom line is, we become who we keep company with. You don't have to turn there. I want to read James chapter 5 to you. James 5, verse 10 and 11. It says this, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the midst of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance, and seeing what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." It's like we said in the beginning, do we have the patience of Job? Is that something we're striving for? Number three, vent our anger in a godly manner. There are times we'll get angry. And that's fine. God, Jesus Christ got angry, but it was a controlled anger. It was a directed the way it should have been anger. It wasn't a reckless anger who went out and sinned. He didn't sin with his anger. Ephesians 4, verse 26 says this, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say, never get angry so you won't sin. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, there are several ways to deal with anger, but they can be summed up by three common ways. And these three ways, only one of these ways work. Works effectively. These three ways, number one is suppressing anger. Suppressing anger. That's when we ignore it. You know, the old saying is, ignore it and it'll go away. It won't. It won't. If you ignore it, it'll build. It'll build. You know, a lot of doctors have done studies on this, and they've determined that the number one cause of depression is suppression. In other words, people ignore it. And instead of it going away, it wrecks their life. So suppressing anger is not a good answer. How about expressing anger? Number two, expressing anger. Again, a lot of psychologists today agree that people have a certain amount of anger that they carry with them. This is what their studies find. And they say they just need to dump it. Just need to let it out. Once they get rid of it, once they blow up, they'll be fine. This is what the psychologists today teach us. And we all know this word. It's called venting. You know, maybe we've all said, I have to vent. Well, there's a little difference between venting and telling somebody about your problems or issues, and then, as they all say, go postal on somebody. There's a difference. The biblical answer to this solution or relief to this situation is much different than what we're taught from the psychologists today. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. It goes back to being under control. This is an example of God, of Jesus Christ, always being under control. And the third here is confess our anger. Confess our anger. When we're angry, admit it to yourself. You know, we've probably all seen Dr. Phil, and one of his statements is, own it. Own it. We need to own it. Own it before God. And then talk. Talk to the person that you're angry with. Go see him. Or write him. Or call him. Or email him. Or do whatever you need to do. Talk to him. If at all possible, meet with him and strive to have a very godly outcome. That's what we need to do. Well, number four in our 5 points. Number four is prepare for some hard times. Prepare for some hard times. James 1, 3. James 1, verse 3. Because we know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance or develops patience. The testing, hard times. We know that hard times handled godly develops patience. There's really no way around this truth. We learn to be patient by how we handle problems and troubles and trials in our lives. And we need to do that. You know, God, He wants to know where we stand. He wants to know that in the kingdom, somebody won't go off. You know, Satan, Lucifer did this once. He doesn't want that to happen again. He won't let that happen again. He won't let that happen again. Number five, seek God's help. That simple, seek God's help. You know, patience is at the very heart of God's nature. Psalms chapter 145. Psalms 145. Psalms 145 and verse 8. It says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." That means He has patience. He has patience. Brother, we must take the opportunity every day to draw closer to God, because the fruit of patience is rooted in God Himself. And we are to have God's reflection in us and come out in us. And this is what patience is. Patience is actually a part of God living in us. How much of God do we want to live in us? How much patience do we want to live in us? I would like to look at one final scripture here, back in Galatians 5 and verse 16. To be patient is to be content. To be content in God the Father and Jesus Christ. Galatians 5 and verse 16. It says, "Live by the Spirit." This is a challenge to us. "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Live by the Spirit. That very Spirit that God has given us when we were baptized, when we had hands laid on us, that very Spirit that should be growing in us every day, that very Spirit that produces the fruits that we should have, we should learn. I want to close with a short story here, and it's called Patience Pays. And I don't know the author, but it's very fitting. Once a king had announced that anyone who wanted to be or wanted the post of personal assistant must meet him. Excuse me. Many people gathered in the palace. The king led them to a pond, and he said, "Whoever will fill this pond's water in this pot will be chosen for the post. But remember, there is a hole in the pot." So some people left without even trying. Well, some people tried for once and then said, "The king has already chosen someone. Let's go." But one man kept filling the pot with the pond water patiently. He filled the water in the pot from the pond, and it came out on the ground. But always within a few minutes, the water poured out on the ground completely. He scooped up more. He tried that uncountable number of times. At last, the pond became empty. The man found a diamond ring in the empty pond, and he gave it to the king. At this, the king said, "The ring is a reward for your patience and hard work. You are fit for the job." I think that's a neat story, because if we don't have vision with this patience, then we too can quit before we reach that reward. This man confirmed here that patience does pay. Brethren, patience pays. There's a great reward waiting for all of us who develop and produce this kind of fruit and who show this kind of fruit. So, brethren, let's determine to stay, absolutely stay in God's place, and to only move at His pace, not ours, at His pace, no matter how long it takes. And when we do this, we will put that fruit of God's Spirit, patience, into practice in our lives.
Found the sentence I was looking for before. Even in the enlarged version that I have, it's so small it's hard to read. Maybe they didn't want too many of us to read it. But it says, "This ordination is valid in perpetuity unless revoked by the pastor general." So that's where Joe DeCott Sr. took the authority to take it on himself that You know, you do what I say or you're not a minister, period. If you'll take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 23, and we'll sing Turn Thou From Evil. And after this will be laid in the closing prayer by Mr. Eric Keithley. Hymn number 23. Turn thou from evil, do what is good. Seek peace, pursue it earnestly. Upon the just are the eyes of God. His ears are open to their cry. But the eternal space is against those who are evil doers of wrong. He cuts remembrance off from them. Cuts their remembrance from the earth. When righteous men cry,